is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We do welcome you live this morning. It's a beautiful sunny Radio Ranch on this 28th day of April. And well, good morning, men. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, that are tuning in. We know from Florida to Alaska, it's early out there in Alaska. But it's a little later in the day out in Florida. But we welcome you, and we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. Lots going on, and I'm sure we'll get a few things covered this morning. But we'll start out with a word of prayer. And John, we'll ask you to do that for us, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning humbly, Lord, seeking your direction and what it is that you would have us to speak about, Lord, what it is that's important to your people, the remnant, those that hunger and thirst for the truth. Father, I thank you that there are those that are awakening, Lord, that they're scales are being removed from their eyes and their ears are unstopped, and they're starting to realize that there's something wrong with the teachings in the majority of the churches these days. We've come to the place of 2 Timothy where you warned us that the time would come when your people would appoint for themselves teachers of their own liking, not wanting to endure sound doctrine, but only wanting to have their ears tickled. Father, we're seeing that more than ever these days, and we're just reading 2 Thessalonians in your word, how you tell us not to be shaken from these things that we witness, but that none of this will take place until the great apostasy. And Father, we see that taking place in the land. For years now, you've revealed to us that what's going on is the the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat is the church, and the tares are those evil ones that are sown within us. And in order not to harm the Christians, we are to wait for the harvest till those tares are standing up bold and brazen. And your people, the wheat, has their heads bowed in reverence to you. So, Father, give us discernment, Lord. We ask that you give us more Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would just bestow upon us those greatest gifts, that you'd bring us to that place where we desire to be with you, Lord, and to hear ye the Lord, Father. Our desire is to hear what it is that you would have us to do as your servants. Here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? We can't do it unless we do hear from you, Lord. And we know that your word says that when you went to be with the Father, you left your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that resides in us. That's a gift to us when we, out of reverence, go into that watery grave of baptism and born again of the water and the Spirit. And Father, it's the only place in the Bible that says that our name will be entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray that you would continue to reveal to your people those false prophets and false teachers, that you would convict them to seek the truth, Lord. All of the answers are in the living Word. We must seek what it is that you want us to know. We thank you for the promise as well, Lord, that in the last days, knowledge would increase. We just continue to pray that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. Father, that the evil in the land would be exposed, and that you would once again raise up your people who boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, who will not bow their knee to Baal. Guide and direct our thoughts today. Give us wisdom and understanding and discernment. And Father, prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls. We ask that you would send your ministering angels, Lord, out there to those that maybe for the first time are hearing something that sounds a little strange to them. And Father, create in them a hungering and a thirsting for the truth as well. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, folks, we'll have the phone lines open today, this morning, 307-745-5913. We're going to continue to encourage you to read your Bible. You know, the Bible reading plan right now in 1 Chronicles is a tough read. It's a lot of the genealogy. And who begat who? The son of Ethni, the son of Zerah, the son of Adiah, the son of Ethan, the son of Zimah. And it just goes on like that for pages, for chapters. And, you know, I know I've talked to people, and sometimes we have a tendency to skip over that. But on Thursday's Bible reading plan was 1 Chronicles 8, 9, and 10. And you're going all through that. Here's the descendants of Asher and Benjamin and King Saul and the people of Jerusalem, and it keeps on going. But right here in verse 9 it says, "And Judah was carried away into exile to Babylon for their unfaithfulness." And I think that you know, that's a gem. It truly is. It's a nugget of truth, as all of the scripture is. But if you're thinking, folks, just, well, I'll skim over. I don't need to know who the great-great-grandson of Ashtonai was. Maybe you don't. But if you do skip over it, you miss keys like this that are right there that let you know that Judah, they were carried away into Babylon for their unfaithfulness. And that is how God deals with his people. And then looking at today's reading, 1 Chronicles, the Old Testament part, 14, 15, and 16, And this is part of the story of when they transported the ark. Pastor had a great message on this. Don't put Jesus on an ox cart. And I encourage you to folks to if you haven't heard that, to order it if you're not familiar with that. Because it, you know, in 1 Chronicles 13, David is upset because they're trying to move the ark, and God strikes a person down for doing it. And David gets upset, and it just, you know, there's turmoil. But you read in 1 Chronicles 15 that starting in verse 11, David calls for the priests and for the Levites, and he consults them and he says, you know, we have to, you are the ones that are supposed to be doing this. Not me, not the king, but you. And in verse 13, they say, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance, according to the law, according to the way that God had set things up. And unfortunately, I think we see that today in the land, is that the people, they want to do things their way, the way that they think they ought to be, the way that they think God ought to be worshipped, instead of going back here to the book and seeing how God said it was supposed to be, instead of going back and seeing what Jesus said about the things to do and the things not to do. And as a result of that, just like in 1 Chronicles verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1, we have been carried away for our unfaithfulness. Anyway, it just that jumped out at me in this week's Bible reading plan. And folks, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to catch things like this. You're not going to see this. So anyway, just wanted to start off with that this morning. How are things down in Colorado today?
Good. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. It's interesting you bring up those verses in our Wednesday morning Bible study. We've been in Ezekiel, and this last week we were in Ezekiel 22 and 23, and in Ezekiel 22, it says in verse 27, "For princes within her are like wolves, tearing the prey by shredding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, 'Thus says the Lord God,' when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner among without justice. I searched for a man among them who would build the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one." I think the key there is there better be at least one that's willing to stand in the gap, or he will destroy the land. I mean, it's just like it was in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. But what ties into what you were saying is chapter 23, where it talks about Ahula and Ahulaba. And when you read into that, it's basically that Samaria is Ahula and Jerusalem is Ahulaba. But when you break that down, that was Israel and Judah.
Yes.
And it was Israel that played the harlot and broke the covenant with God Almighty, and then Judah decided to go one better and to even trump, for lack of a better word, the sin and disobedience of her sister. So I thought that was interesting. It kind of ties in with what you were talking about.
I'm sure that's opening up, I hope so anyway, their eyes. You know, you look over here in Ezekiel 23, verse 35, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, bear now the punishment of your lewdness and your harlotries." And I mean, we see the punishment being poured out on the people that have forgotten him and have cast him behind their back, from, you know, all over the world, not just here, but all over the world. Folks, phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Go ahead.
One of the stories that caught my eye here last night was, if you just read the headlines, then you think, oh, well, we're still in good shape. But when you read into it, you realize that we're not. But it says 80% of Americans believe in God. Well, we've known, because the First Commandment tells us that there's more than one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So what does that mean when you break it down? Well, what it means is, when asked the question, I think there was about 5,000 people that were asked the question, do you believe in God or not? 80% said yes. However, only 56% believe in God as described in the Bible. 23% believe in some other higher power, spiritual force. And then of those who said no, 19%, 9% do not believe in some higher power, spiritual force, and or actually do believe in some higher force, and 10% do not believe in any higher power or spiritual source. And then when you look at the age group, it's those that are under the age of 50 are in the highest bracket of those who do not believe that in God as described in the Bible. And that's kind of where the Lord led me with the prayer this morning, and also led me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of lawlessness. But we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit or by a message or a letter, as if it was from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. And we know that that word apostasy means faithlessness. So this study by the Pew Institute really reveals where we are as a country, sadly. If only 56%, which is probably close to about the percent anymore who identify as conservative, it may even be less than that, probably just 51% or whatever it is, but it's the scales are tipping. Those people are revealing what they are, just like we said, the tares and the wheat.
Yeah, there's that separation. You know, it's goat and the sheep. That separation is taking place. You know, they're starting to be identified. It was, you know, I saw another story. I don't know, were you done with that story, or do you want to continue on there?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was, you know, and I thought about the same thing this week, and I've seen a lot of that, just that separation. It's these terrors are sticking their heads up higher and higher. They're arrogant, they're cocky, you know, the weeds bowing their head, and crying out to God, for God to save America again. And, you know, these antichrists, I think that they've gotten more bold and brazen recently. This news article, one of the ones that I wanted to talk about this morning, was St. Louis Jewish cemetery vandalism was carried out by a man on drugs, not a hate-filled Trump supporter. That came out this week. You know, as soon as these vandalism started taking place, you know, there was a lot of people out there that jumped on the bandwagon. Oh, these are hate-filled Trump supporters. All these Trump supporters are anti-Semitic, you know, and they're always really good about throwing out that anti-Semitic word, you know, and cry out for the Jews. Oh, poor Jews, poor Jews, poor Jews. And as what happened is they had, well, they had two things that happened during the same time, and they tried to tie them together. Is one is they were having bomb threats all over, and the bomb threats they ended up finding out they came from a Jewish man in from Israel, and you know he was making death threats on Jews there in Washington D.C. But you know, and he was a Jew yet himself, and it just reminds me of that scripture that talks about you know the Jew cries out when he strikes you. You know, it's not at all like they portrayed on the news, but, you know, where's the national news on that? The other one was the vandalism in the Jewish cemetery where, you know, 100, you know, about 150 gravestones were tipped over. Well, that was done by an African-American who was high on drugs and was trying to pin his girlfriend on it. And you know, it was nothing at all. But, I mean, it's like what they portrayed it on national news. And then these things come out, and, boy, they just want to cover it up and sweep it under the rug and don't want anybody to hear about it. You know, that's the way they work. It's an art of warfare.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it was even the ADL. The ADL head, Jonathan Greenbaugh, tried to blame Donald Trump's for supposed surge in anti-Semitism after his election. Something has to do with the way that strains of intolerance have moved from shadows and seeped into the mainstream, Greenberg said earlier this year. You know, and you know, well, and then we want to talk about anti-Semitism. Well, you know, these acts are actually by an African American and another Jew. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, Jason, I remember hearing that very same thing from the ADL when Obama got in office after a couple of years. Oh, because he's in office, we're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism. So now they say, well, because Trump's in office, we're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism. See, it's the same thing played over and over to get it in the people's minds to get funding for them. But you're right, it's always poor me, and that's what they cry out. So we had a rise when our current president got in office and his cabinet, but we heard the very same thing when Obama got elected. A rise in anti-Semitism. South Carolina is changing their law. I saw a headline on that. I didn't print it out for this morning, but they got one of those little one-liners thrown in that you can't even talk bad about Israel. That even just speaking about it will be considered anti-Semitism. And the bill itself had failed, but they put it, I think they got it in their appropriations bill that they passed to keep their government running.
Well, and see, and the thing is they don't even, it's not even talking bad about them, it's telling them the truth. You don't have to talk bad about them, but you speak the truth, and then, you know, they want to crucify you and call you anti-Semitic.
Right. Right. You brought that point out on, was it Mississippi or one of the states involved with the floods down there? I remember you bringing that out last year about if the people wanted to apply for the grants and the federal funding, that there was a line in there that they couldn't boycott Israel or speak against Israel.
Yep.
And the sheep don't have a clue. What? Why? Who? And our enemies are
interesting too,
playing chess.
Goes along with that is, I found a story here earlier, but I can't find it right now. But anyways, basically, a federal judge, wouldn't doubt if it's in the Ninth Circuit, California or something, but ruled in favor of several establishments who refused to give service to people who wore President Trump hat, Make America Great Again. And, I mean, think about that now. Think about the fact that if you would have wore you know, if someone would have had a problem in an establishment with an Obama hat or something, it would have been a civil rights violation and brought up on charges. But here we are because it's has to do with conservatism, has to do with their against their agenda. Then all of a sudden, you got these federal judges that are ruling in favor of even things that you wear.
So this is,
schools have been doing that for years.
Oh, they have. They have. So these are the same federal judges that are saying that an establishment that's open to the public has the right to deny service to someone because of the clothing they're wearing. But if you're an establishment and you decide to deny service to someone because they're a filthy faggot, you know, dog humping queer, oh no, you can't do that. You see the double think there? You see the, you know, the double standard that these antichrists have? How many bakeries, how many florists have they all but run out of business? You know, taking their case all the way up to the big court. I hate to call it a Supreme Court, but the court in Washington, if not the state Supreme Courts, saying, oh no, if you're open to the public, you can't discriminate on anything. But now they say you can discriminate if he's got a Make America Great hat again. And I hope the people see the doublethink there, the spell that's cast. You know, you can't discriminate here for religious purposes because you don't believe in these filthy faggots and you don't want to support their wedding. No, you can't discriminate there. But you can discriminate if they're wearing a Trump hat. And the people, okay. And it's that spell. You know, again, that, what a blessing we have had to have our pastor and the teaching he gave he gave over the years. You know, that little pamphlet, folks, if you're not familiar with this, a double-minded people is what it is. And oh, it just is it explains this spell casting that our enemies do. That they present both sides of the argument and get you to agree with both sides, or at least put both sides in your mind, and then you're helpless. You can't do anything. You know, the old country western song, you better stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And I think that's where our people are. Yeah, I saw that, John, and I thought, man, how ridiculous can it be? Because you wear a hat?
Well, it was a Manhattan judge that ruled on that. Some 31-year-old in Philadelphia went into a bar and was refused service because of his Make America Great hat again. The reason that strikes a chord with me is my son, my youngest son, loves to wear his Make America Great hat again just to irritate people. And it's kind of funny. I've had him sit in the passenger side of the truck, and you pull up next to somebody. Next thing you know, he's rolling down the window, and he's trying to get the lady's attention. And she rolls down the window, yes. And he goes, well, I just wanted to let you know that somebody vandalized your car. And she goes, what? And she goes, yeah, there's a Bernie 2016 sticker on the back, or there's an Obama sticker on the back of your car. And boy, they just get, you know, indignant.
Oh, wow.
Some of them have cursed and sped away, but I think it's funny.
Well, that's borderline hate crime anymore.
Yeah. Well, we know who's in charge.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Seems
like
I've...
interesting, but I saw, a news article. And, you know, just talking about, you know, as we talk about the war that's being waged, this was over in Italy, but it was Muslims migrant threw Christians overboard. And Italian police arrested 15 Muslim migrants who survivors said tossed 12 Christians from a boat during a recent Mediterranean crossing attempt. In a separate incident, 41 migrants were feared drowned as the situation in the region intensifies. Muslim migrants involved in the clash with Christians were arrested in the Sicilian city of Palmero and charged with multiple aggravated murder motivated by religious hate. Police said in a Police said in a statement Thursday, according to the BBC, the victims were from Nigeria and Ghana. The suspects were from the Ivory Coast of Mali and Senegal. Police learned of the incident through interviews with survivors who said they boarded a rubber boat Tuesday off the Libyan coast with 105 passengers aboard. The Associated Press reported the surviving Christians were able to remain on board only by forming a human chain to resist the assault, police said. And so, I mean, and basically is what you had when you read into it is, you know, these they got into a conflict. It was, they were all refugees, you know, fleeing those, you know, African countries, and the Muslims and the Christians got into it. Well, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, we hear a lot about the Muslims that are immigrating to a lot of these places. Well, there's a lot of Christians that are fleeing those places too. And they got into it, and they ended up arresting them. But they said that the numbers were astonishing. Is what I was looking at. It was on just in that area of Italy that they've had, you know, in just in the last week. It says if this week's figures are confirmed, the death toll for the year would rise to more than 900. Nearly 10,000 migrants, mostly from North African nations, have been rescued since Friday, and you know, that's just in this last week.
Wow.
Yeah, you sure don't see anything like that on Fox or CNN or anywhere.
This was off of CNN.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Man, I haven't seen that.
Well, I think in a way they're trying to show, too, that the Muslims are overpowering the Christians.
I think that they're out there. I mean, a lot of these people, you start reading these stories and these comments on a lot of these stories that's happening over, you know, overseas. I mean, the crime rate, you know, and people understand, you know, that, hey, it's bringing these Muslims in. That's what's, you know, bringing the crime rate up.
Yep.
You know, crime rate skyrocketed in culturally enriched Britain, London. Murder rate jumped 44%. Here it says, a knife crime epidemic in London, England's big cities, has seen the number of offenses involving blades soar by more than a fifth in the last year. Police in England and Wales recorded 39,598 offenses involving blades in the year ending December 2017, a 22% increase compared to what the previous year was. London saw a 44% increase in the number of killings, with more than 150 victims, while the number of knife offenses in the capital rose more than 20% to 14,680. And, you know, if you look at this, it's all caused by this this rise in the Muslims. And the people realize it over there. I mean, and they know what's going on. I mean, when you're talking to the people, but when you're talking to about the establishment and their prime ministers and stuff like that, it's obvious that, you know, that they're destroyers. I mean, and they're trying to destroy a country. I mean, they don't listen to the people. They don't listen to what people want. I mean, the people that want the border shut down and they want these Muslims rounded up and escorted out, you know, or, you know, that's why they're having attacks on the Muslim communities also, you know, where they're burning the cities down, their sanctuary cities. I mean, burning them clear to the ground. That's happened several times over there because the people are fed up. But, you know, you talk about the destroyers rising higher and higher and putting themselves in positions of authority. I mean, I think, you know, Dad was right on. He called them aliens. And, you know, we've had this alien invasion among us, and they have risen higher and higher, and they're the ones that are attacking us.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. A lot of that goes back to, there was a movie, America, what would the world be without her? And in that, they exposed the fact that it was Hillary Clinton whose mentor was Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radical, I think. And if you read those Rules for Radicals, it's basically along with several other communist manifesto and. But anyways, it's a blueprint to take over a free nation, and it was Hillary Clinton who finally convinced the Democratic Party / progressives / communists that, well, you know, we've been doing this all wrong. We've been trying to win people over to our side by explaining to them the benefits of socialism and communism, and what we need to do is, you know, start out on a long-term plan to get our people elected in positions of authority and then mandate our way. And that's what they're doing. I mean, I was reading an article just this morning as well about California schools that are basically bringing into whatever grade 14 is, probably freshmen in college or high school, I guess, and showing them pornographic videos of, you know, just lewd sex acts and things like that. And then when the parents complain, the school district's response is, well, we've ruled that it's okay that you contradict what we're teaching in the schools at home, but they cannot opt out of these classes. And people are livid, and that's good. It's about time that people start to stand up. And California, you know, it's sad, but for the most part, they just continue to hammer in the final nails in the coffin. There's white flight from California, that's for sure.
Yes, there is.
They're coming to Colorado, too.
And their brothers are coming here. We have two new neighbors out here. I say in this, you know, in this community that we're in, two new neighbors from California, and that's just recent. Over the last 5 years, we probably had 10 or 12 people move in here from California. It's crazy. It's like nobody from back east is moving here, but they're sure coming out of California. They are. And you know, John, that Ezekiel 23. Oh my gosh, it is just right there. You know, what is going on? Behold, I will give, says the Lord, I will give you into the hand of those whom you hate, into the hand of those whom you were alienated. They will deal with you in hatred, take all your property, and leave you naked and bare. Verse 30 says, these things will be done to you because you have played the harlot with the nations, because you defiled yourself. And that is, you know, it boy, when God turns against you as a people, it's no holds barred. It really is. It really is. Well, guys, phone's ringing. Let's get over and take a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think we do a little disservice when we say Muslim migrants. I think if we look deeper into the subject, they're actually black migrants that are invading Europe and murdering the white women or raping the white women. So in this country, it's the same thing. It's not Muslims. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not ISIS that the following the little white girls on the street with drugs. It's the blacks. And until we recognize our problems, I don't think we'll find a solution, I guess.
Well, Ken,
actually, there is a lot of white Muslims that are doing the same thing and carrying out a lot of these acts. You know, I mean, it's not all these Muslims. You don't have to be black to be a Muslim, and there's a lot of white ones out there too.
Yeah, there are, and
a lot of Asian,
you know,
ones also.
That's right. And if we're going to be, you know, in general terms, it's truly the Antichrist. You know, they do what they do. If you have a Labrador dog and you go down to the river, that dog is going to do one thing. He's going to jump in the river. That's all there is to it. It's his instinct. If you don't want him to jump in the river, don't take him to the river. But if you take that dog, that Labrador or that Golden Retriever or something like that, to the river, he's going to go in the river. And see, our enemies know that. Our enemies, the Jew that hates Jesus Christ, that is the enemy. And he has done this. He has done this because our people have sinned and given that legal right for the enemy to do this, because we have not stopped it. And you know, many of the blacks have fallen into this lie of Allah and have converted to Muslim, and
yeah.
many have.
The rich blacks are uncivilized, and whether you paint them as Muslim or Catholic or Baptist, at the end of the day, their black nature is their black nature. That's what you get with savages. So saying that they're Muslims or Catholics or Baptists or whatever, it's still, at the end of the day, they're programmed to cover what the white man has. They want to covet their women, their job. They're destroyers, you know what I'm saying? And they don't fit into Western civilization, not in the Christian society anyway.
Well, we see how the society is when you know, the races have mixed and mingled. You know, it goes back to Balaam and Balak. You know, it really does. That you can't curse God's people, but you can sure make them sin. And when you bring the when you mix the races, when you mix societies, when you mix what God had created and called good, and then you mix all that up, then sin is the result. The transgression of His law is the result. And yeah, and that is not good. That is it is not a good thing.
Right.
It certainly isn't.
I just wish there were good churches around here to go. But I find a lot of churches today, Richard, are self empowerment centers. There's a book called "The Pastor Has No Clothes" and how the fivefold ministry doesn't work in today's modern churches. It's a good recommend why the churches are dried up today. You know what I'm saying? So. Anyway, God bless you. Take care.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, well, you know, reading again in Ezekiel 23, you can see what God said, though, because of our harlotries, because of our disobedience, because of all of these things, He will raise up our enemies amongst us to destroy us. And that's the bottom line. I mean, the Muslims are our enemies. All of these... different people who are heathen, you know, and that's what they are. And I think something we miss too is the fact that the enemy has put pornography in front of our people for quite a few years now. That's caused people to be immoral. That's caused them to have desires that aren't of God, and to do things that are against God's laws and God's plans. And I think that's where our call is, to do everything we can to set our people free. I totally believe that there are doors to demonic activity, and it's just like conduits to demons that our pastor taught us. Door or conduit, same thing. When you open up those doors or you create those conduits, I mean, a conduit is a pathway. So if you're continually into pornography or illicit sex or drugs or alcohol and excess, all of that stuff, you're creating a conduit, because that's a pathway for you to get to that place of immorality that's against what it is that God would have His people do. And we have to figure out where that door is or where that conduit is, and we have to either crush that conduit or we have to close that door. And the only way to do that is to confess the sin and ask for forgiveness, because our God is faithful to forgive us if we confess our sin. But then again, there's the warnings of, like, the dog returning to his vomit or the pig returning to wallow in the mire. You know, there's consequences if you want to continue to live in those sins. It's not like you can continue to commit those same sins and just say, well, Lord, forgive me. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
When you have the knowledge and you continue on doing it, there are consequences, and those consequences can be grave. And unfortunately, those consequences a lot of times don't affect the person who's doing it, but they'll affect their kin. And it can affect generations until that generational curse is broken, until the legal ground that Satan has to operate either in that person's life or in that bloodline is removed. And there's only one way to do it, and that's repentance. Pure, wholehearted, fall upon your face, cry out, ask for forgiveness, and turn from your wicked ways. That's what it takes to break those conduits, to break those, to remove the legal ground and to close those doors. That's the only way.
Amen. Amen. You know, the words of Christ in Matthew 7:23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Who practice lawlessness. And that is defined by the Bible as sin. You who practice it. And so If you're absolutely right, John. If it is a practice, it needs to stop. It's as simple as that. And in Ezekiel, you read that, the last part of Ezekiel 23, verse 49, your lewdness will be requited upon you, and you will bear the penalty of worshiping your idols. Thus you will know that I am the Lord God. And you know, if this was taught in the public schools, if this was read, you know, and put in the newspaper when you had somebody that, you know, that you had maybe some court case or something of some filth that came up. There was something I saw a headline the other day, bestiality. And you know, when this country was founded and that happened, they were stoned, they were killed. The person that did it, as well as the beasts. I mean, it's filthy, and that's what it calls for. And that was done back in the early days of this country, because God's law was the law of the land, and this country was blessed. The people in it were blessed because of it. And if that were to happen again today, to where the this was read and said, hey, the lewdness is not going to be allowed in the land, and so when you bring it up, no, it's out. You know, our pastor talked about that, how even into the 30s, that in some towns they'd have these picture shows, peep shows they called them, right? And they were on the seedy side of town. See, they just started creeping in, and now it's on your TV. Now you get it on your phone, and your 12-year-old can get it on their phone. And it is the lewdness, and we will, as a nation, we are being punished for it. The European nations are being punished for it, because there has been no repentance as a nation. There's been no repentance. And it starts with the individual, and certainly it has started in homes and with people. And you know, Jason and I were talking earlier that you know, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to see that these abominations are coming upon us. We are being overrun. The people in Europe are seeing that. And we have to continue to put out why. Why? Why is this happening? It is happening because, praise God, His Word is true. His Word is true. And that this whole Ezekiel 23, John, I'm glad you brought that up, because that, I can't say the names, but that you had it, Ahola and Aholibah, I guess, is who it is. And you know, look at it this way. One sister's Europe, another sister's America, right? We talk many times about that. Oh, it's Ephraim and Manasseh are the... you know, the part of the European nations, or England and the United States. Well, guess what? One sister has just wallowed in the filth, and maybe that's the sister over in Europe, and they're paying for it with their lives, with their children's lives, with their culture being destroyed, with their nation being destroyed, with their women and children being raped and killed. And the sister over here in America looks at it and says, huh, oh well, bring them over here too. Come on, we want that too. Bring it on over.
And the enemy does. Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Does. It does. Well, the people are brainwashed. I don't know how many pictures, you know, we've talked about this Muslim invasion in Europe for a couple years now, and reported it with a, you know, from the pulpit and in reviews of the news, and when you research and you look at pictures, you see these people, these white people that have these signs, welcome immigrants. Oh, well, we're glad you're here. Come on in. And time and time and time and time again, because of that spell. We talked about that earlier, that spell that the people are under.
Well, they're whoring themselves for money, too, because a lot of those are religious organizations, Catholic and Lutheran and all kinds of organizations that are getting rich off of the destruction of this country. Reading in Ezekiel 23, I think this fits in well with what we're talking about, starting in verse 43. Then I said concerning her who was worn out by adulteries, which means they'd committed so many adulteries against God that they were even tired and worn out. Will they now commit adultery with her when she is thus? But they went into her as they would go into a harlot. Thus they went into her Ahula and Aholibah, the lewd women, but the righteous men, this is the part I wanted to get to, but the righteous men will judge them with the judgment of adulterers and with the judgment of women who shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is on their hands. For thus says the Lord God, bring up a company against them, and give them over to terror and plunder. The company will stone them with stones, and cut them down with their sword. They will slay their sons and their daughters, and burn their houses with fire. Thus I will make lewdness cease
yes.
from the land, that all women may be admonished and not commit lewdness as they have done. Your lewdness will be requited upon you, and you will bear the penalty of worshiping your idols. Thus you will know that I am the Lord God. And if you read Revelation, you start to understand that God made Revelation where you can't understand it unless you read the rest of the Bible, and you have to be able to tie it in specifically, I think, into Daniel and Ezekiel. And what I was trying to explain to our Wednesday morning prayer group was when the Revelation talks about that great harlot, I said what he's saying here is, come out of her, my people.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. He's saying so that you don't partake in the sins and the punishment of those who are the great whore Babylon. And once you realize that, and you know what, a lot of these guys have never read any of this stuff, and they don't understand it. And I try to go into some commentary to be able to explain it to them. And myself, to be honest with you. I mean, some of this stuff, when you start reading Hula and Hulaba, you're thinking, oh, and then you start to look into it, and you see that, well, this is Israel and Judah.
It is.
But this is the times we're living in right now. I mean, this talks about Samaria. What's going on in Samaria? Almost a full-fledged war, almost the start of World War III. I mean, and then now we're going to be getting into the time of Gog and Magog. Well, you know, we're right there.
Amen. Amen.
So it's a time to be found faithful, to be prayerful, to be crying out, to be seeking wisdom and understanding. You know, the Bible's clear. Our pastor taught us many, many years ago. I think some of the first messages I heard from him when I found the church were, pray for wisdom, you know. How many people actually took that to heart? Well, I did. I took it to heart. And I do pray for wisdom, and I pray for more Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, that's foolishness, you know. Well, really? What does the Bible say? We have not because we ask not. Well, if we don't start asking for discernment, if we don't start asking for more Holy Spirit, if we don't start asking for more wisdom and discernment, you know, those things, we're not going to have them. And we're going to be deceived by the false prophets that are going to be rising up even more than they are today.
Agreed.
But it's exciting times we're living in, that's for sure.
Oh, it is. It is. You know what I say, John, it's exciting when someone realizes that biblical concept that we have not because we ask not. You know, when someone needs, whether it's a new job or a better job or healing or more discernment. You know, hey, I got this situation going on. We'll get phone calls, and I'm not sure what to do here, there. And you know, you ask them because our pastor taught us that. Well, have you asked God to guide and direct you in this? Have you looked in the scriptures for, you know, what the Bible says, whether it's adultery or whatever? And... You know, many people say no, but those that do, see, those that knock, the door's opened because the Bible says so, the Word of God says so, and those that seek, find. If you look for it, if you seek it, you'll find it. And those that ask, you know, those that are in obedience to God, that ask for more of the Holy Spirit, what do they get? They get more of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, like the caller was saying earlier, I think the most significant thing that we should understand is that these heathens, these antichrists, these sons of the devil, these terrors, they come from all walks of life. And sadly, it's even our people who have bought into these lies. Sin is pleasurable for a time.
Yep, for a season.
That's the saddest thing, is it's you know, we can try to single out certain groups of people and stuff, but I got news for you. there's those people who have the laws of God written on their heart that are doing some of these things because they've done everything they can to deny the power of the living God, and they follow the false gods, and they've opened doors and created conduits into demons. And at some point, I've witnessed it firsthand, we witnessed it with a local member of the church, some point God will give you over to that which you desire. And if you continue to whore yourself, and nothing that you do is not seen by God.
Amen.
And I think that's the lie that some people believe, is that, you know, it goes right back to the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And, you know, it's sad because I've seen people with good skills, God-given talent, and because I think mainly because they pretend, you know, that you were hot or cold, but if you're living in that lukewarm stage, what does it say? I spew you out. So you got people who on the outside pretend to be Christian. They pretend to live a life of righteousness, but on the inside, they're rottenest bones, you know, and eventually that will catch up to you. I mean, those three scriptures that I read as a warning before I baptize anybody, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, Hebrews 10, 26 through 29, and 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. I brought those up to the guys in the prayer breakfast, and they'd never heard any of these things before. And I said, well, why do you think that is? I said, because it's not popular, you know. Half the stuff that we're going through in the Bible, they've never, ever heard their whole life in yep. any sermon or sermonette. And it's just, there's a group of people who hunger and thirst for the truth. And we have an opportunity now more than ever to share these things. And I think one of the greatest tools that's been revealed to us recently is the fact that God says that he's given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. You know, we can call for ministering angels. I've been doing that lately, to call
yes.
for ministering angels before you try to speak to someone about the Word of God. And we can call for guardian angels to protect us and to protect those that serve the Lord. And we can call for warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, because there is no doubt that there is satanic assignments. And those demons are I think, given permission to operate in certain people's lives, depending on whether you give them that legal ground. But that's a whole nother story.
It is. Well, John, great stuff. Jason, great stuff. People need to know about that these things are going on. Folks, if you'd like to hear a little more of this, join us for church tomorrow. We encourage you to do that, and we've made it easy to do. You can come to scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30 in the morning and just spend the whole morning with us. And so we encourage you to do that. Folks, we're out of time. Guys, thanks so much, and we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them out, ride them more. Snake high. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride. of proving. Keep on moving over snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our